again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 26, and I'll read the passage again from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, and it reads, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news." I was thinking a lot about that verse. In fact, that verse came up even this weekend while we were on the retreat. And I was thinking as I was preparing for the meeting today, about the word call. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And it made me think about some verses that God has given to me about calling. And it says in Psalm 145, this is Psalm 145, 18, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And then Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." And then Psalm 50:15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." So God desires that man uses his will to call on him. He says that he will, if you call on him in Psalm 145, he'll bring you nearer to him. In Psalm 33:3, it says, "I will give you answers." And it says in Psalm 50:15, "I will bring deliverance from trouble." But this verse in Romans says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? So calling on the Lord is hard when there is no evidence that he exists. And so the verse is saying that they need someone to bring them the truth. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And so there are two big words in that last part. Preach and sent. Preaching means that it's like a public proclamation of the truth of God. A preacher is telling the truth of God publicly. And so that brings to mind that there's going to be something involved in my mouth. But when I'm talking about truth, it's going to have something to do with my life. And so if God is calling me to preach, it's not going to be just talking the talk, although that's a big part of it. It is going to be walking the walk. And that all boils down to, for me, in terms of my abstinence. Because the truth of the matter is that if I'm trying to bring you the truth, and I am still serving, trying to serve two gods, because that was what I did when I was overeating. When I was overeating, I used to talk about having a power greater than myself when I was struggling in my food. But let me tell you that the power greater than himself was the refrigerator, because I was running to that power whenever anything happened. I was running to it, and I was not running to my God. So in truth, what I was doing was showing you that food was greater than the God my mouth was talking about. So if God is going to send me with this marvelous message of salvation, he is not going to send me with dirty hands or blinded eye. As it says, you know, in Matthew, you know, that if your right eye causes you to sin, I'm sorry, that if you have a log in your eye, how are you going to see to take the speck out of your brother's eye? And so it is letting the Lord himself work in me so that I can have a clean hands and a pure heart. So if I am interested in bringing the good news into the rooms of recovery, number one, I need to look at the prospect, am I abstinent? And I have come to understand that the Lord himself wants me abstinent. He wants me abstinent. And so if I'm interested in abstinence, I'm not going to go to a place that the Lord is going to send me with people who are blinded. They're blinded right now. They don't know truth. They don't know the Lord. And so I need to be in the Word of God to understand that God himself wants me abstinent. I need to understand that my overeating is a sin issue. And I need to be drawing closer to the Lord through Bible immersion. I've said this again and again, and I would like for you to challenge me. If you're still struggling with the food, one day at a time, try some Bible immersion. Try getting into the Word of God. Try getting on a Bible reading schedule. Just do it for one day. You know, if you don't have a Bible reading schedule, you can get it online or you can call me. And a good one will have you in the Old Testament reading about two or three chapters and about a chapter in the New Testament. Do it for one day. And as you read it, underline it. Underline. And if you don't have anything to underline, go back and read it again to see what the Lord is going to teach you so that you will be equipped when the evil one starts lying to you about the food, telling you to go into the food. Keep in mind, you have been redeemed. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. He does. And so that's the same power that got Jesus from the dead. And if you're still eating and you know you have been redeemed, then the devil is just using the fact that your laziness is keeping you from remembering what has happened to you. Cry out to the Lord. Ask him for the willingness and the strength to draw near to him. It says, like I said, in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. I've heard people say, oh, I've done everything. I've done everything and I'm still eating. It says the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Truth is found in the Word of God. So if you are calling on him with falsehood, you're not getting the first part. He will draw near to you when you call on him in truth. Pray for the willingness. I implore you, pray for the willingness to get in his word. And once you get into his word intensely, believe me, the food will almost take care of itself. It will. It will. You will have that willingness to have a clear food plan. You will have that willingness to be clean with your food and to be committed to realize that this is God's gift to you. You want it. And then if you are called, because it says that the Lord will send you, It says, how can they preach or how can you proclaim what he has given to you unless they are sent? And so I go to the 12-step rooms. I stay in this 12-step room, not for fellowship. It's not for fellowship. My fellowship is with those who know the Lord. It is not for accolades. The Lord himself will give me the accolades that I need. I stay in the rooms because the Lord has me on assignment. Assignment. Assignment is to take the Word of God into those places where people are seeking. So if you are still struggling with your abstinence and you think that you're going to get abstinent by the fellowship and staying in the room, my bad news to you is that it doesn't work that way. You stay abstinent. I mean, you may actually get a body of skills that will help you to get abstinent for a while. But in terms of maintaining that, if you want a lifetime of abstinence, if you want abstinence that you're not scared that when the wind changes, you're going to go back into the food big time, it's no other, I'm telling you, there's no other way except staying in the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to point you to the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. He has your back. He has your back. He does. And believe me, yes, you will have a role in the rooms. You will. After that, when you have a testimony. But you will not have a testimony if you're still eating, eating, and eating, and eating. You will be a bad testimony in that way. In that people are saying, oh yeah, I know she is always talking about the Lord. But is her Lord that big enough that he can't keep her hands out of the food? So I implore you, you know, stay very close to other Christians in food recovery. And like I've said before, it's these meetings, but there are other meetings. There are other people who can tell you about Christian food recovery. You want that. Because they will point you to Jesus, and Jesus will keep you abstinent for a lifetime. He will. I guarantee you, he will.